government is doing to us all the way from... Is the board up really fading it down to nothing?
Nice.
Okay, good. I thought I told him about this. You know, this is a teaching hospital, the Freedom Fiends, so, you know, I'm going to yell at the board ops when they do it wrong. There, that's good. We can still hear it. See, there's been a thing with the board ops lately where... Where we're doing our... We have a scripted intro, and we have variations of it on the Freedom Fiends. And this is Michael Dean, and we got Lisa Galasso. How you doing?
Hi. Good.
Yeah, and we got Jeremy Heckler, we're going to call him tonight. How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm fine, Michael. How are you?
I am well. How are you? So, yeah, I don't like it when the board ops turn the music down too quickly. I thought he turned it off. So, yeah, it's... See, the whole Freedom Fiends experience starts with this incredible music by my band Bomb that sounds like galloping horses that make you smile and want to shoot heroin. And that's kind of the feeling of this show. It's like, you know, the Freedom Fiends are the poor man's speedball. So when the board op takes that down to nothing or almost nothing too quick, I'm not going to name him by name because he has the power to cut me off, you know, so...
As long as he just cuts you off.
And just not cuts me off. Yeah. But you know, it feels like we hit a brick wall when the music drops out when we're doing the intro. So, but you know, one of the most important things that I was ever taught by this old blues musician I knew, this old white guy in a Hawaiian shirt. In fact, white guy in a Hawaiian shirt who was a great blues guitarist who played the clubs of DC. Yeah, okay, I'm talking about the Nighthawks, sorry. But, guy from the band, was it a band? I don't know, one of them bands. Told me that, hey, Michael, you're in a band, right? So here's what you gotta do. He's a fat white guy, but he talked like that. And he said, the most important person when you play club with your band is not the booking agent, even though he pays you. The most important person is the sound man. And you should walk in at soundcheck. You should shake his hand. You should learn his name. You should write it down on your hand. And you should call him by his name. And you should buy him a drink at the end of the show. Or at the beginning of the show. But not too many drinks before he does his job. But, you know, because really the sound man can make it or break it for you. So,
yeah.
Sound man everywhere, including here. I salute you. So, what's up, fiends?
You know, same old. I'm still trying to get over this darn cold or whatever the heck it was.
We're all sick, all three
yeah,
of us.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, I'm finally
Freedom Fiends
again.
Catch the sickness. That'll be the next button.
I did nothing Saturday.
I mean, that sounds like a DC 101 bumper sticker. DC 101. Catch the sickness. Yeah, but you know, but we, in our case, it would actually be true. We're contagious, even when we're not. We're kind of like herpes. You know, you don't know that we've entered your body in your blood for a while. Then eventually the fiend symptoms pop up and then they go away. But you know, the fiends always come back and you have the fiends for life once you've had the fiends.
It's always there, dormant under the surface.
Freedom Fiends, we're the HPV of liberty.
No, we have just sunk to new levels.
That's it. We're done now because we're never living that down.
HPV causes cancer. I don't think herpes does. Herpes is just... I mean, come on. Who doesn't have herpes? You know what? Somebody... Freedom Fiends out of context
don't,
last night.
I don't, for the record.
Fiends out of context
sure
last
I don't
night.
Either.
Hey, there's still time. out of context,
true,
Fiends, Twitter last night quoted me saying, what was it? Murder? Who hasn't committed murder? And he quoted that to me, and I said, well, actually, I haven't that I know of, you know, because the years from 1986 to 1993 are pretty fuzzy. I don't think I killed anybody.
Not that you recall.
How about
and apparently
Apple,
in the
Apple
world of
sucks.
Politics, that's enough.
Yeah. Well. So we're going to talk about the Trumpster fire that is this whole election later. But
I
didn't make it up, but it's pretty good. I heard it's
that's great.
Trumpster fire. Yeah. So, so Apple, I have more to complain about Apple and how elitist they are. So I've been talking about how I, you know, there's a Freedom Fiends Android app. You can get it on the Google Play Store. And, you know, it cost me $99 for the authoring environment and $25 for life to put it on the Google Play Store. And I was approved on there the night I applied and paid the $25. And the next day, our Android app was live. So 6 months later, I'm authoring an iPhone app because, you know, one third as many people use iPhones as use Android phones. But, you know, I want to reach the people. And iPhone users have more money. But so, you know, the company is so elitist in the way that they treat developers. So first of all, like, it's $300 for the authoring environment I'm using. Not Apple, but for this Apple product, which is the best deal I could get on being able to do this. So $300 a year. And then to become an Apple developer, you have to pay $99 a year. Not $25 for life, $99 a year. I'm still trying to get approved to like have them accept my money. And then once that's done, it takes like a week to get approved. And then it takes 3 weeks for them to approve or deny your app for their store. So I'm still at the phase of trying to get them to take my money because they don't take PayPal. They don't take Bitcoin. They don't take debit cards. They take credit cards. Now, my wife and I, 6 years ago, did what they tell you to do on the radio and pay off all your debt except your mortgage and cut up your credit cards and cancel them. We did that. Yay. That puts us like, we're not rich, but that puts us in better financial shape than like 75% of America. You know,
yeah,
we do not have debts other than a mortgage, which is reasonable priced. So, my fellow Americans. So I got Diana. I asked Diana, my good friend and fellow freedom fiends, you know, she has a credit card. Can we use your credit card for this? So she trusted me for it. She gave me the number. I entered it. So like, this is like 5 days ago. We're still arguing with Apple because they're still like thinking I'm trying to do some scam. Like she's called them twice. She's given them all their information. They're at the point where they're like, the name you're registering under, Michael Dean, doesn't match the name on this credit card, Diana. So they want her to send a scan of her credit card. And I'm like, I'm putting my foot down there. Like, I'm not going to ask if she's willing to do that. It's just, and she's being really helpful, but I don't want to put my friend through that. So I kind of finally figured like, okay, there may be a few things in life here and there now that you have to have a credit card for. They're going to make you submit to the Borg and get on your knees and put your butt in the air, get the number of the beast QR code tattooed on your rump, USDA, DOJ approved, IRS approved, Apple approved, do the human centipede with Apple product. P-O-U-A.
No.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, like, I wonder if Tic Tacs is going to start having an ELUA that you have to, like, click here to accept that I will not denigrate Tic Tacs in any videos or audio. So basically, I've come to the conclusion that asking my friend, and this is the second time I've had her do it. I had to do it for Google, too, because they don't take debit cards either. And this is all because of the government. But, you know, like, they think they want to make sure I'm not, you know, that if I author an Al Qaeda Rocks app, that they can find my home address. That's what this is all about. But Apple takes it a lot further, which is kind of mind blowing because they did that whole dog and pony show of like, oh, we're not going to get into our iPhone. And then, like, you know, they paid some hacker $10,000 or something and they got in. But Apple is not a friend of the people that they pretend to be, the fuzzy hippies that they are. So right now it's at the point of like, I decided I'm going to break down and get a credit card tomorrow. And it's because asking Diana to do this every time I need to do it, you know, every year or 6 months I need to do it. It's what it reminds me of. And she said, no, it's not like this. I'm like, no, it is like this. This is like the guy who quit smoking and then bums 8 cigarettes a day from his friend. It's like that. Twice a year. So twice a year, I bum 8 cigarettes from my friend. But I don't want to do that. So I'm going to break down and get a credit. I'm going to get a low one with like a $500 limit or something, you know?
Yeah.
But I have the discipline not to abuse it, not to go, ooh, shiny things, you know, and order it when I don't have money. But yeah, so thanks, Borg. Thanks, government. Thanks, Apple. Thanks, Obama. All right. So.
Well, I still, Well, I was going to say, I've been trying to get rid of mine. I still have one only because I still owe money on it.
But what, your iPhone? Yeah.
You no, credit cards. No, I don't have an iPhone. I don't play with those pieces, those Apple, horse apples.
Horse apple. I hope that name catches on.
But
like Chrome horse apple.
But yeah, I guess there could be certain situations. I don't know. I don't know.
You know, horse apples aren't just horse poo. A name for horse poo. There's actually a fruit called a horse apple, and horses don't eat them. People don't eat them. Nobody eats them. They taste so horrible. They are literally ground. They used to be ground up and turned into a spray to use as insecticide.
Ew.
So it works either way, you know.
Like crab apples? Ugh.
Yeah. Like, yeah. An iPhone is either horse poo or a poisonous fruit that looks attractive. Look, put it that way. Yeah.
Nice.
Humans.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
No, I was just gonna say yeah. So, but I only keep my one credit card for the most part, just because my business, in case I need it for that. But if it wasn't for that, I'd get rid of it altogether.
Worms.
Yeah, I have one, but I usually pay it off every month.
Yeah.
It's low. Yeah. I keep it really low. I use it to pay my free market doctor quarterly.
Hey, punk rock is dead. I'm announcing it dead.
Why?
Because the city of Queens, New York, named a street after the Ramones.
Oh.
Although, really, is that... That's not the Ramones' fault. That's like... That's a government. That's the state coming in 20, 35 years later and jumping on a bandwagon. So, yeah. Punk rock's still cool. You know what? If I ever use my app, find G.G. Allen's grave, and actually go to G.G. Allen's grave, like you had the honor of doing... You went, right, Jeremy? Yeah.
That I did.
Yeah. I'm going to stand over his grave and scream at it and say, I knew Sammy from Fang who killed his girlfriend. I was on this two labels with Sammy from Fang who killed his girlfriend. And you, G.G. Allen, are no Sammy from Fang who killed his girlfriend. That's what I'm saying.
poor G.G.
G.G. is like Debbie Gibson compared to Sammy from Fang. I know Sammy from Fang. I was in the studio recording the Love Sucker Bomb record reunion record when he was in the same studio on Wingnut Records, when he was in the same studio recording Electric Chair, his post-prison stretch for Killing His Girlfriend record on the same label as me. Before that, we were on Boner. So there. Boner!
Freedom Fiends.
Boner Records. Google it, people. I have the documents. Like I have the $7 royalty checks.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Someone blocked me today.
Shut up, Beavis. This is David Immergluck playing guitar here in County Crows.
So, oh, wow.
I don't name drop ever. I don't usually name drop
I
do. I don't name drop much, but when I do, it's verifiable. And I invite anyone who doubts any story I've told about someone famous to go meet them after a show or whatever and say, you know, do you know Michael Dean from the band Bomb or blah, 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 or, you know, from wherever I'd say I'd know them from. It's all true, people, and I have the documents. So, I'm somebody. Let's talk about a nobody. So, there's this guy.
All right.
That we're going to call He Who Cannot Be Named, that we've talked about a lot on this show. And I want to call him He Who Cannot Be Named and stick to it, because people have pointed out that I've probably done... You know, that he's a bad person, he's a horrible person, and he's somebody who people should be discouraged from liking. He's a... Well, we'll get into that. But people have pointed out, possibly rightly so, that since I've gone on... We've done whole weeks on this guy for years. He's wished me dead. When I was, like, almost dying last year, really ill with issues in my lungs, he said on air that, well, that Michael Dean guy, he's... I don't want to try to do his voice. That sounded like Alex Jones. It's not Alex Jones.
No, not by a long
shot. No,
it's like someone you'd never heard of.
He's sounding more and more like a...
Archie Bunker.
No, actually more
the
like
the guy we're talking about.
50-year-old Long Island housewife. But
she's not the name.
Edith! I'm Edith Bunker!
Yeah. So, people say that I've like actually brought more traffic to this guy than I've made discourage people. And it's possibly true. So, I want to make amends for that and not say his name. How about this? How about if anybody says his name... You have to give $5 to antiwar.com. We'll have a cuss jar, and his name is the cuss. Is that cool with you guys? You
agree? Yeah, I like that.
We did that last time. Last time it was 10.
No, last time it was 20.
That was 20. Oh, that's right. Yeah,
because this week I'm broke this week because Apple has all my money. I'm tied up waiting to try to get to them.
So you're convinced that you're going to slip up already?
I might slip.
I only slipped up. I only slipped up once, and I ended up putting 40 that time just because I felt it was worth it. The time that I said it, you know what? It was so worth that I said it. I'm giving you guys $40 for it.
Let me play 10 seconds of this guy's voice to get an idea how horrible he is. This is him at the end of a call. All right.
All right. That's a little bit different from a vote on the floor of the United States Senate to start a war. Do you understand that? Is all hell breaking loose over there?
Okay.
Yep, come on, man. 50-year-old Long Island housewife, right there.
It does. Yeah. And, you know, I think he's playing up the Long Island.
It is.
Thing.
Okay,
But you're from there. You used to party with this guy.
I never party with him, but I was around him enough and heard him speak that he never sounded this affected. Right. It was never this severe. He actively did not.
When he was
like
a Democrat. And I was dating black girls. Yeah, okay.
I haven't listened to him much, but I noticed it too in that little bit.
I'm not saying I've evolved, that I'm not dating black girls. I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm married now, and there's a racial component in all this, and it's him. So he's a racist. He's sort of libertarian. He used to be more libertarian. He used to be like running for office. He's talking about that in the end of that call there, that he ran for Senate. And then he got arrested. And I have a theory that he became a state informant, but it's probably not true. But it's weird because he was facing many years in prison for drunk driving while having a bunch of cocaine, which they throw the book at you for that. And he served like a couple months. So my theory is, and then he like came out and started talking about wanting to kill the president or kill politicians or no, kill cops was the main thing. And like got away with it. Like people who've posted that one thought once, not even in such bold terms on Facebook, have had their door kicked in and been put in a mental institution or arrested. Like he's said that like over and over loudly to thousands of people in no uncertain terms that people should go kill cops. He's written articles about it and never gone to jail. That's why I think he's a cop. But regardless, he's a really annoying guy. And he kind of went full like anarcho-capitalist. You know, he understands economics pretty well. And but then he just went like alt-right, which is the new thing of like, you know, it's like your crazy drunk racist uncle, but maybe he has a Ron Paul book in the basement collecting dust somewhere from when he embraced liberty for a minute. That's the alt-right. Wouldn't you guys say?
Well, just to a certain extent. I don't know. I don't even know if I can explain the alt-right. It's such like a nebulous term at this point because there's a lot of people.
Trump.
No, because there's so many different people involved that consider themselves the alt-right. But I was going to say about, you know, this guy. It's just people that take the Rothbardian and then the Hans Hermann Hoppe approach to the, like, umpteenth degree. They all seem to head down this path.
But they don't do it right, and Cantwell rightly points that out in this. We'll get there.
You're listening to Freedom Friends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. Yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
$5
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Block out the rest.
Just had to get that in.
I'm a last word kind of guy, Michael.
So, I broke my rule, and then I realized I don't have $5. All my money's tied up in trying to get this iPhone app, free iPhone app made for you people.
Hashtag please donate.
Yeah. Passive aggressive, please donate. So, instead of sending $5 to antiwar.com, I'm sending $10 worth of Freedom Fiends buttons and stickers and state speeches, hate speech stickers, $15 actually, and $3 in postage. But I have the stamps already. So I'm sending this to Angela Keaton, but she already has this stuff for herself. But I'm sending this for to give out to people that work at antiwar.com or people she meets that would want them, you know. So I'm donating.
Here you go, Angela. And instead of $5 for your company, we're going to give you work to do.
Yeah. It's kind of like when someone gives you a pet for a gift.
Yeah, right. Oh, it's not that bad. Okay. Because, well, you know, just like if somebody hands you some flyers and say, hey, hand these out. You go, okay, sure. And then you turn around, you just dump them in the trash. You know, well, I mean, you could do that with a pet, but that'd be really messed up.
Yeah, it would.
I think that's what happened to the kitten we have. He was scruffy.
It's quite possible.
He's getting so good though. The antibiotics are working. He's almost done being sick. He was possibly close to death. And when we got him, he didn't eat for 6 days. And we took him to the vet. They said this happens sometimes, you know. And he's probably sneaking a little food here and there when no one's looking. But you know, like, you know, they're he's afraid to eat where the other cats eat and. He was barely even drinking. And I was like, you know, like when I was giving him the antibiotics with the eyedropper, I was even putting in a little extra water with it just to get him some water down his throat. But he started getting better. And today he's like playing and climbing up on our shoulders and like chasing the other cats. And he's amazing. Mm. And he ate so much today. Like we haven't seen him eat in 7 days at all.
Oh, wow.
I've seen him walk over to food, sniff it, and walk away. I've taken wet food and put it on my finger and rubbed it on his mouth so he has to lick it off, which is, you know that one, Jeremy, right? It's a trick to get him to eat. I did that with water to get him to drink. None of it worked.
I've spoon-fed cats. That's no
What's
fun.
What's that?
I've spoon-fed cats. That's no fun.
So today he sat and ate crunchies for 5 minutes straight. Then we fed them goo food. He ate goo food.
Goo food.
Then he ate everyone else's goo food that they didn't eat. When he was he went from concave to convex. He was skinny, and now he's fat in like 4 hours.
Well, I mean,
it's temporary, but you know.
But didn't you say he was like ridiculously young too?
He's 4 months.
Oh, okay. I thought he was younger than that, but so he's still. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's a shock of if he was just dumped at a very young age.
I know. Then, so
he's a baby.
Yeah, man.
So moving along from kittens. Kittens are the best thing in the world. Now we're going to talk about the worst thing in the world. It's he who cannot be named. So this guy joined the alt-right, which is, how would you describe him? I would just say they're your garden variety racist, but maybe a little smarter, really internet savvy, really into memes, don't care whose feelings they hurt, and have a tiny bit of knowledge of like libertarian theory, you know.
Well, basically, again,
skinheads that want to smoke dope. How's that?
Again, because it's not the whole movement. There is a faction that's very racist.
It's an ill-defined movement too.
It's
a big white tent. How's that?
All right, that I'll accept it because it pretty much is. But there's hardcore. I mean, the basis of a lot of it is nationalism. Is what it comes down to. And even
which is weird because that's antithetical to libertarianism.
Well, and a lot of the so-called anarchists or libertarians who have shifted in that direction are claiming it's, you know, preserving the Western culture and all this BS. And they're basically doing is finding ways to justify being able to use the ill-gotten gains of government for things they want.
Yeah,
itself is antithetical. Go ahead.
They do recognize that a lot of politicians and government, once you know, like government basically, a lot of times uses like socialism and inclusiveness and multiculturalism as weapons to control people. They really do. Like, you know, they go in, kill a bunch of Indians, kill all the ones that have any fight in them, you know, most of the ones that have any fight in them, and then, like, you know, enslave the rest of the ones economically by putting them all on welfare and, you know, giving smallpox and beating them till they learn English. And then, like, a lot of the same thing with inner city blacks of, like, just, you know, like, on the welfare teat to control them and keep them down so they don't, you know, uprise and strangle people they should probably rightly strangle. But, you know, that's not the fault of minorities that they're used as a weapon, you know?
Right. So, no, of course, because, I mean,
the alt-right thinks it's the fault of the minorities. That's all I'm saying.
Well, so, yeah, because they generalize and collectivize those individuals the same exact way that you did by people who say that the alt-right is all racist. Well, yeah, because there are people who do take advantage of the system, absolutely. But there's a lot of people that like you said have pretty much been forced into that by the way the system was designed and what they grew up in and how the cycle continues. So
the guy we're talking about is really laughable in a lot of ways. He's fun to make fun of. I've done a lot. We had an episode called Blankety Blank. His name is a cop. You know, I mean, that's how we treat him. And as I said, he's wished me dead. But so here's what happened. So he went from being like libertarian to being alt-right to being like kind of a poster boy, a minor celebrity poster boy to a lot of alt-right people. To where he has like, you know, he'll do a video and it'll get like 40,000 views. You know, and it's like 30,000 alt-righters and like 10,000 social justice warrior left-handed lesbians from Lithuania who want to kill him. And, and, you know, and he's like, you know, made a bit of money from donations, bragged about his web stats and his Alexa ranking. And like, basically he destroyed that by half overnight he used to be a big tub of lard and, a blowhard, and he started working out and got a little kind of fit, a little fit. I used to be more fit before when I was about his age, but, you know, he got kind of in shape and got some confidence and, moved out of his mother's basement at 30. I'm not kidding. That's true. He had moved back into his mother and was living there. And at 30, he moved out and, finally found a woman who would sleep with him. So he's got a girlfriend now. Good for him. Not so good for her, but she is half Puerto Rican, and half of his base has abandoned him and are calling him a race mixer. And, you know, the other half are probably only staying because, you know, he pointed out that Puerto Rico is actually part of America. And I would point out that, you know, Puerto Ricans are considered white, but they're saying, you know, you're dating a non-white, you're a race mixer. So what I want to play now is this guy on his weekly podcast or twice, I don't know. He does a podcasty thing and videotapes it and puts it on YouTube. And this is him. So basically he's getting a call and then he notices that his producer, he has like a guy now, a buddy, a hanger on who comes over to his house and like does the web chat while he's doing it. And he notices the guy starts banning people and he's like, oh good, you're banning them. And he's banning people that were saying stuff about this guy dating a Puerto Rican girl and being a race mixer. And this is just amazing. And it's probably gonna take more than one segment to get through because I'm gonna stop it a few times. Now, I do wanna point out before we get into it that every time he says a bunch of ridiculous stuff, there's usually something smart and right in it. And the thing in this is he talks about how the alt-right, the people he used to be a member of, and they've thrown him under the bus, he's yelling at them for being right-wingers who are in incorporating communist economics. Have you guys ever thought about this?
No, I haven't.
Right, I have, totally. I've thought about it with Trump. They want to close the economic borders. You know, they want to heavily tariff things. They want to make everyone buy American. They want to not trade with China. They want to abandon the debt to China. That's how you get North Korea, okay? If you don't trade makes people free. Trade stops wars. Trade makes life great for both sides. Blocking trade makes North Korea. Yeah. The right needs to realize that, you know?
Yep.
So he points that out. He also like makes fun of them for I guess this is a thing of saying that interest, you know, charging money on loans is a Jewish conspiracy. And he says, no, it's not. It's interest exists for a reason. I've explained that economic bit to you. And it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, should if you think money should be lent free without interest, you are a communist. Yeah. A socialist. All right, so I'm gonna I'm losing my voice. I'm gonna let him lose his voice for a minute. Here we go.
So you're a fan of people. What are you doing?
Oh, I beeped this. This is 4.5 minutes long. I beeped every cuss. 59 beeps in 4.5 minutes.
Hey, that's what I said.
Okay, yes. Just ban the every time. And if Max or one of these irregulars, they Max is doing it. Okay, so, Max, you're out of here. Go f*** yourself, asshole, and go change. Here's what you do. Cantwell's First Irregulars, go rebrand your channel. I'm sick of you. Go f*** yourself. I'm done. Let me say this. All right, now we're gonna go there.
He said his name. He owes $5. I'm gonna do a libertarian social contract. He owes $5 to antiwar.com. He said his name on the air. And that's the dirtiest cuss word you can say on radio. All right, here we go.
You're making it happen. You guys, get the f*** lost. Yo, you mouthy f*** assholes. Here's the truth of the matter. Everybody who's got a comment to make about anything that's going on in my personal life, and for that matter, to do with the production for the most part, if I banned every single one of you, it would mean nothing, all right? You'd be completely meaningless. I don't need you. Go away. If you're not here to help, leave. Go do something else. Go find something better to do with your time. I don't value you as much as highly as you think you are valued. Go rebrand the Cantwell's First Irregulars thing. I never asked you to use that name. You never asked me to use it. I never gave you permission to be the Radical Agenda After Chat. You're just a bunch of who decided to go run with my name in order to draw attention to yourselves. And of course, Max decided that he had to go start himself his own little show that nobody listens to. And because he gets 200 views on YouTube, he thinks he's special. Well, you know what? You're not special.
I used to think this guy was going to, as someone said, I used to think he was going to eat his gun. And somebody said that, you know, or shoot a bunch of meter maids. But I think he's actually going to have a heart attack on air. And I'm going to watch that video over and over.
Yeah, he needs to calm way down.
With more. And he's on nootropics, which raise your blood pressure and make you crazy and make your voice high and make your testicles shrink.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT. .org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Are you doing Beavis when you do that or just rocking up?
I'm just making noise, man.
All right, the name of the show is 59 Beeps. Write that down, please, Jeremy. You're editing tonight, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, so we're going to play more of the meltdown on the way to a heart attack of, somebody posted a picture of this guy's girlfriend. I don't have any comment on anyone's looks. I would never do that. Someone was saying, like, she's not pretty. But I'm like, I don't care. I'm feeling sorry for her because he's attached to her neck and he's sucking her soul out through her neck.
That's what it does look like.
That's the main concern for me. Poor lady. That's what you said, right, Lisa?
Yeah.
So, we're going to play the rest of this meltdown on his way to a heart attack from nootropics and stress. It'll be entertaining because it'll likely be on video. That, we might even do our first video broadcast to comment on that. So here we go.
Nobody cares about you. Go take a look at your pictures, Max Sand. Go take a look at your fucking pictures and go take a look at your fat pig of a wife. Go look. Believe me. I'd rather date a fucking than the fat pig that this guy calls a wife. He's got something to say about my personal decisions. You off. Get lost. 747-234-5. I'd be like to be on the program. I will dispose of all yous, all right? And it'll be the best thing that I ever did. So chatty, Kathy, some of yous. I don't need you. Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm glad. Just go keep on physically removing these degenerates until they go away, and I don't have to hear from them anymore. Because I'll tell you, that's the other thing, you know, and I'm so glad that we're doing this. And the more yous that go, the better. Let's get rid of all yous. We'll lose, maybe I lose, if we're lucky, I'll lose like 1,000 people. If we're unlucky, maybe 100. But let's do the purge. Let's get rid of a bunch of these fucking. Because you know what? Here's what we got. And you on the alt-right, seeing your former ANCAPs in parentheses, here's what you need to know. You got people who are still preaching communist economics in your fucking right-wing movement. And if you don't know that that's a fucking problem, then you don't need to be here, okay? If you don't think that that's a problem, then you are the fucking problem. So get the fucking lost. Get the f*** lost. I've told you already. You want to come in here and tell me that interest is a scheme by the Jews? After I've told you how many different times what function that particular economic feature performs? Get the f*** lost. We don't need you. Go back over there and hang out with your leftist pals. Go hang out with Bernie f***ing Sanders. We're done with you. 747. I'm not playing. You think you're going to have, you know, you got this right-wing movement, and you call it the alt-right. And then you're like, I got an idea. Let me go left of Hillary Clinton on the economy and see if that does good things for my right-wing movement. You've already got your leftist infiltration. They're going to make what they did to the libertarians. This is what's going to happen with the alt-right. And I told you that this would break up. Here's what's going to happen with you, because you're a bunch of those of you who don't care about the economic discussions. You are going to have happen to your movement. It's going to make what happened to the libertarians look like child's play. Libertarianism went from like Murray Rothbard, Hans Hermann Hoppe, hardcore to anal sex and transgenderism and MDMA. And it was ridiculous. All of this is ridiculous. And that's why so many of you who are former libertarians went over to the alt-right to begin with. And you go over to the alt-right, and they're like, I got an idea. Let's raise taxes, right? Let's have the government completely control the economy of the United States. Everything will be fine with a central bank and fiat currency as long as it's managed by white people. You're gonna make libertarianism look hardcore by the time you're done with this, fellas. Your leftist infiltration is well on the way, and we're not going to suffer through it here.
Oh, wow.
My.
He actually makes a couple cogent arguments, but he's also... It's hilarious to me that the racists he embraced are throwing him under the bus for finding love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wow. Lisa, as a race mixer with a half Asian kid, how do you feel about all this?
I don't even know where to start. I can't get past all the beeps and the fake accent.
I know.
The fake accent.
It's kind of like those like punk rock bands like Green Day from the East Bay of Oakland area that sing in a British accent. It's like that.
Yeah.
It's putting on a dress. He's in drag.
Well, it's either that or
working on the guy from Queens.
He might just be turning into his mother. I mean, that happens too.
Turning into his mother.
Hello, mother.
I think we should run with that theory instead.
He's trying to turn into like a bricklayer from Paterson, New Jersey. He thinks that's cool. It is cool, but it's not him. Yeah.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms. Internets. The money will roll right in.
Yeah. This broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Org.
That's a Sunday. That's only a Sunday night thing. Get out of here.
You can share the
word. Or apparently when she's on my show as well, she couldn't control herself when I tried to do the spiel up on my show.
Did she squirt laughter all over you?
Yeah, she did.
Okay. So.
And you heard it building as I got closer to the end of the tag.
I don't care what you think you heard. This is late at night, man. If I'm yelling at emails I'm going to get tomorrow. If your kids are up listening to the radio right now, you're a bad parent. It's 1 a.m. man. Okay, so any hoodle, I'm interrupting myself. So someone complained last night, you know, because I'm not the king of great audio. I'm the king of pointing out bad audio. And my only demand is that audio is acceptable. I want to make that clear. If people think that I think audio should be stellar, our audio is not stellar on this show because we have 15 different co-hosts not in recording studios, all in our bedrooms in different cities,
I resent countries. That. I'm in my dining room, darn it.
Me too. And, not your dining room, my dining room.
Different continents. All on $50 mic. Put it this way. Anybody listen, you make a show that sounds this good with 15 hosts each using a $50 microphone. We invented our own software to do it. Fiendphone.
Yeah, man.
It's free. Fiendphone.com.
Put that in your peace pipe and smoke it.
Yep. Yeah, but, you know, by the time it gets, you know, from us to you and then from you to the other end of the network and then from the network to the radio and then from the radio to your car radio or your house radio and then whatever crappy speakers you got on that, I still bet you can understand every word. So I kind of wish you hadn't been able to understand every word.
Uh-oh.
All right.
In fairness, I don't know if we're always going to coherent, but you know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so that's your vehicle. We're all better now.
It's all good. It's good.
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
okay.
Lisa, what did you do? Where were you traveling?
Fiendphone.
I see you talking about museums and such.
Oh, yeah, I went to
Did you just drone yourself again, Michael?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, did you drone yourself?
I can hear you now.
No, I was going to let you hear the fan. I was going to get the mic down by the fan.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Why do we want to hear the fan?
Just to show what people are hearing. So, this is really bad audio, playing with the mic.
And there he goes again. I think he's gone.
I think he's droning himself.
Yeah, well, anyway. I don't know what's going on. I'm confused.
So yeah, what was it? I was asking you, did you go see museums and stuff like that? Was that what I was reading about?
Yeah, my friend's here visiting from California, and so she drove across country with her daughter, who's homeschooled, and they've been exploring the United States.
What was I talking about when I got droned? I was.
You were talking about bad audio
and bad audio and good audio and how we're there's 15 hosts and we're all really in our dining rooms and bedrooms.
Okay, then. Anyway. So continue with your story. we'll just keep picking up where you left off.
It's the most fragmented story ever. Yeah, so she wanted to see D.C. because she hadn't been there since high school. So we went to the Museum of Natural History, which is, you know, it's a cool
Fiend
place.
Fiend phone.
Like
Fiend phone.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Right.
Yeah. Are you I'm gonna done stop now, I'm going to stop mining.
Is that what you're doing? Oh, my
God. Yeah, I think that's it. So.
Okay.
All right, so, but speaking of cryptocurrencies, what's Beefcoin? Does anyone want to tell?
Beefcoin.
Was
that?
It's
was
an
that
imaginary cryptocurrency that you mine by arguing with idiots on the internet.
Yes.
Then I should have the most of that.
that was already decided. You'll be a beef on air in no time.
Story of my life.
Fiend
and you know,
I'm
you
getting
guys
drunk. Have a good show. I'm taking off.
All right.
Okay,
good night, worms. Yeah, I would get a lot of that. But what's a lot of people don't realize is it's Fiend not just phone. On my wall. It's Fiend on other people's walls. Oh, and it's just... on work pages.
Yeah.
Okay, he's gone again? I don't know what's going on. I'm lost. I think he's gone again. But yeah, it's not just on my wall. It's all over the place. It's if I got paid for arguing with people on Facebook, yeah, I'd be pretty well off.
Yeah, well.
I wish there was a job for that.
Yeah, I used to wish that too. That's why I had to finally stop doing it. And just, it's, you know, I managed to be able to lurk on a lot of stuff and restrain from commenting. It's just because I'm like, you know what, I just don't want to even spend the energy. It's just so not worth it. Like, I occasionally will, but it's really not. I don't have it anymore. I've lost it, and I'm not complaining.
No. I go through phases with it. There are certain things that I do the same thing. I'll just say, oh, you know, and I might start to type a comment, and then I stop myself and say, is this really worth it? Do you want to get 50 notifications every 5 minutes about this and have to keep coming back to it? And the answer is no. And sometimes I'll comment and then I'll unfollow, not the person, but just, you know, turn off notifications. Yeah, so I just don't have to complete, because what I've learned is, and I know you know this, is most people aren't going to change their minds, so there's really no point. And people do tend, and I saw you comment about this recently, the blowback effect happens. So the more that you try to convince someone that they might be wrong or to look at things a different way, the more they're going to stick to their original point.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The backfire effect. Yeah. Once you reach that point that they're like, everything you say to somebody, their confirmation, you see their confirmation bias, like they're telegraphing their confirmation bias for you before you can even finish making your point. At that point, it's like, okay, there's nothing you can see. There's absolutely nothing you could say to this person, because once that occurs, then when you talk about people doubling down on being wrong, just because they either can't fathom it or they don't want to accept it, so they have to once you reach that point, there's literally no reaching anybody at that point, because you're actually making them more resolute in their position.
It's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, and I had never really thought about it. It was I don't know, well over a year ago now, I guess. When I had actually, yeah, we had Ben Stone on my podcast, The Seeds of Liberty, and that was the first time I actually got to talk to him, and we actually discussed the backfire effect, and I learned so much about it that day, and I was like, well, this makes so much more sense, and now I understand, because you know, sometimes you just want to like shake your head, like grab the person and shake and be like, I don't understand, how are you like this, like. Defiant. Like the evidence is like stacked up, it's like stacked up against you, like how do you, and that explains it. It's like, you know, and I it makes complete sense to me, because it's something that I've said for a while, that you know, it's really hard to come to this position, because you, a lot of times you really have to come to grips with the fact that most of what you think you know is wrong. on so many levels, and that's a scary, it's a scary thing for people. It's scary, you know. It scared me. I got close to the edge and teetered on it for a while, because every time I'd be like, oh yeah, all right, oh, that's it, I'm done with everything, and it's like, and then another thing happens, like, oh well, maybe no, and then you know I start making the same arguments again and trying to convince myself that you know, there's a necessity for some type of government or some type of protection or something, and then, you know, then I get frustrated again. So I get it, it is, but that's what happens. So people, you know, that fear takes over, and people are like, no, it can't be these things. So the only right. thing they have to cling to is, no, I have to keep repeating what I was saying in the first place, because that's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Yeah, and I've been asking people, I'm like, did you even read what I wrote? I don't think that you did. Oh yeah, I went in circles with a guy tonight about Trump, because I've been trying to explain some points about that, and I've had to delete at least 3 posts within the last few days because of people misunderstanding. And I think part of it is, when you get way too many people involved in a discussion, it gets really derailed. And then people don't read the prior posts and they think that they know what your stance is, but they don't. And I'm so tired of repeating myself, too. There's that also. And I'm like, what am I even doing? Well, why do I bother?
Yeah.
Why bother?
Well, because if you're on social media and you're in like a thread like that, that where all these different people are commenting and all these sub threads start and all these other comments, it becomes like a horrible game of telephone. In some aspect, yes. Because people are only like reading like pieces, you know. I mean, I deal with things and I don't even try to get that involved. You know, I just make my memes every once in a while, and I have people that want to come and argue about stuff. And like, what did I put up the other day? It was one of it was either one of the Trump ones or the Christopher Columbus one. And talking about being, you know, just a joke about him being America's first serial killer. And I had a caption about it that explained it in more detail, and people still like just wanted to argue like they were like I had my facts wrong. I'm like, okay, first of all, you understand I make memes. I'm not like, this is not
going. You're not writing a dissertation.
Yeah, I'm not going for 100% accuracy. I'm also going for a laugh. And if you read the caption, you would understand. But no, but that's it. People just, they latch onto these one things. And then, like you said, you're off in all these other directions. And then you ask yourself, why did I even bother in the first place?
I deleted a post I made yesterday that escalated. I don't know if you saw that, but it escalated into a huge, it was yesterday or the day before, into a huge debate. People were misconstruing things. It just turned, people were repeating things, and I had to keep repeating myself. And I finally just said, I can't do this anymore. I deleted the entire thing. Just because it was going in a direction I didn't want it to go in, and people weren't reading the entire thing. They were reading other people's comments and assuming that they had all the answers. And so I started over again today. And so I made a longer post and I outlined all of my points. And wouldn't you know, people were like, oh, you know, Hillary Clinton's worse than Donald Trump. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I said in my original post, they're all horrible. I'm aware of that. And then I had a guy call me a Clinton supporter and he blocked me before I had a chance to block him.
Hey, that's usually how I settle things. I rarely block people. The really annoying ones end up blocking me, and I'm like, all right, awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to Lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
So we're back.
We're back.
Yes. We have lost Michael, although he's sent messages for me to pass along.
Oh.
Although they're a little conflicting. First one says, even not mining, he's getting drone because the NSA doesn't want him talking about Beefcoin on the air. although at the end of this one, it says, it asked me to read it on the air, and then it says word. So Now I'm worried. Because this is what I get first, and I'm like, uh-oh, he said word, not worms. Does that mean they've already contacted him? Am I supposed to contact him, or should I just ignore his messages and pretend I never got them? I mean, like, come on now. This is just like, you don't do that to me mid-show, man. That's just wrong.
It's a test of some kind.
Come on. I haven't been around long enough. I still haven't hit my one-year for anniversary yet, so come on. And, I don't know what the protocol is for these things.
I don't know either. I'm really confused now because I didn't get that email, so I don't know how to.
Yeah,
I don't know.
See, there's another one, and I think this calms me a little bit now. I feel better because it says the internet's actually out because of the weather. Because yes, it is indeed snowing in mid October in Wyoming for him. So
Wow. I don't even want to think about snow yet. Even in Wyoming, far away from me.
Yeah.
It's too soon. Too soon.
Well, I mean, there are places where it snows pretty much all year round, isn't it? Or at least somewhat.
Yeah. Ew, I don't want to be in those places. I don't want to think about it.
I don't either. I'm like, yeah, you know what it is? It's not even like, I mean, yeah, the snow is going to be a pain in the butt, I guess, because I'm already like not liking the fact that I can't leave my windows open at night. I mean, I could, but it's already cold enough here at night or, like that I have to close most of my windows, which I don't know. I like being able to air the house out that way. And I go through, you know, when the kids aren't here, I go through most of, and there's not like a lot of dogs in the house and it's not crazy hot. I go through most of the summer without even AC as long as I can have the windows open.
Yeah.
And once I stop being able to do that, once I have to start shutting them around 7 or 8 o'clock when the temperature starts to drop, it's like, oh, this is no fun. I don't like this, because then the house just feels stuffy and it's an old house and no matter how much I clean it, there's stuff, I don't know. I'm sure there's stuff growing in the walls at some point. it's in some places, you know. I mean, come on, the place had lead paint and asbestos tiles when I bought it, so.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I had a house that was built in 1931 that had asbestos shingles on the outside of it, but, you know, they weren't.
I'm sorry. It has those, too.
Oh, those are neat. If they're the ones they that look like the ones I had, I thought they were cool, but I had no idea what they were until we'd already lived there for a few years. But I was told that, you know, since they weren't, you know, they were in great condition, that it was nothing to worry about.
Yeah, mine are covered. There's a layer of, you know, like vinyl siding on top of it. So there's really like no contact whatsoever. And same thing with like the lead paint. There was only a couple of points where it like chipped off and like I took care of most of it. And by the time it started chipping away again, my kids were old enough to where they're not picking up and eating paint chips, thankfully. So
that's good to know. That's
but yeah, the asbestos tile, I ripped up half the... half the first floor was covered in it, and when I bought the house, well, actually, it was covered in when I first bought the house, it was covered in orange and yellow shag carpet.
Goodness, yeah. That's worse than asbestos.
Yeah, well, and I pulled that up right away because I saw that there was tile underneath, but I didn't even know they made tile out of asbestos at any point. I wasn't even thinking of those terms. I just saw a type of tile underneath the carpet when I pulled it back, and I was like, perfect, I can get rid of this and not have to worry about the dogs peeing on the carpet. And I had that for a while, but over time, because it had been put down, I mean, gosh, if there was yellow and orange shag carpet, that had probably been down since like, you know, late 70s, early 80s at the absolute latest, most likely. And so the asbestos tile was probably at least a decade or so before that, maybe, I don't know. And then because it had been down so long, the glue or whatever, the adhesive had started to separate in a lot of places, but they were like breaking in half and then coming up, and they were coming out of like different all over the place, not just like, you know, in big chunks. It would just be like one here, one there.
Fun project.
So I finally started pulling it up one day, and then I was told like 2 days into the project that what it was, and that I was really supposed to be wearing masks when I did this stuff, and like, yeah, I just totally, yeah, I've abused, I mean, beyond just smoking cigarettes, I've abused the heck out of my lungs with jobs, with stuff like that over the years. I mean, heck, I was at the site of 9/11 a day after it happened for 2 weeks after that, right over top of the site.
Oh, no.
Doing work for a telecommunications company I was working for, so, you know.
Yeah.
Would probably explain why I'm still sick all this time later, but...
maybe. Here we all are coughing.
Arms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Really? Speaking of crazy woodland animals, you were, telling me about a possum story.
Oh, it's so gross. So I lived in this old house that had a crawl space and had hardwood floors. And one day I came home and I had a sunroom that you walked through to get into the house. And as soon as I opened the front door, I smelled this really foul smell, like old food. It just was a bad rotting smell. And my kids were young at the time. And I thought maybe they left food somewhere. You know, it was that kind of smell. So I had everybody searching through the house. Like, we're looking in the couch cushions and underneath furniture to see who left food somewhere, like old peanut butter and jelly or whatever. So we're searching around and I couldn't find the source of the smell, and it got progressively worse fast. And I finally a light bulb went off, and I thought, oh my gosh, I bet there's something dead in the crawl space. And there was no way that I was going to go under there and look. So I called this animal removal company, and they usually remove animals that are alive. And I said, I'm desperate. I think there's something dead in my crawl space. Will you come out? I'll pay you. I don't care how much it costs. Just help me. So the guy's like, sure. So he comes out with his wife. They run the company together. He's all suited up like he's going to make meth in Breaking Bad or whatever. He's got the respirator on. And so he goes under the crawl space. And you know how the crawl space has not windows, but they're like little openings around the bottom, you know. He would talk to his wife through those, and he's like, I got something else to hand you. Can you give me a trash bag? Turns out I had a dead mother possum and a bunch of dead babies under the crawl space. And there were a couple of live babies that ran away, which was actually pretty sad. The whole thing made me sad, but he had to put down some odor absorbent stuff under there to get rid of the smell and some stuff in the house. But talk about just a terrible, terrible odor. Just horrible. Oh. Terrible. Yeah. And speaking of, fun. Yeah. Speaking of animals though, and pets and creatures, I was afraid of spiders for a really long time, and people would joke with me about it. And I don't kill them because, you know, why kill them? I move them outside if they're in my house. And my mom was bitten by a brown recluse years ago, so that might be part of the reason that I've been afraid of them, because it caused necrosis, like tissue death, you know, like on her arm, and she's got a big scar. But today I went to the museum in D.C., and they had tarantulas, and they had a tarantula called a Mexican red nese tarantula. Have you ever seen one of these?
Did you post a picture of it?
They're cute.
I don't think I had ever seen that particular one, but I've seen and held tarantulas before. I've had friends who've had them in the past, and when I worked at Petco, we sold them, so I got to play with them there.
I mean, are they nice pets, or
They're like, for the most part, 99.5% of them that are sold that you can get your hands on are not poisonous. And, you know, if you get them while they're young, they're relatively, you know, I don't think they're an affectionate or anything, but they can, I've been around people who've had them, and just, you know, you take them out, they just kind of like walk on your arm and just hang out with you and stuff like that.
Huh. Yeah, this one, I just thought it was cool. I was like, huh, that'd be kind of interesting, maybe low maintenance pet. I don't know. I'll probably change my mind in a day or so. But for some reason, I just thought it was cute, which is really, I'm like, who am I and what happened to Lisa? Because that's not like me to think. Like, this is cute. I think I want a spider. It would keep people from coming over, though. Because one of my friends is already like, just keep that in your house. I'm not going to be coming over if you get one of those. She sent me a message and said, are you serious? I don't know.
That's funny. Yeah, I've had some people freak out when they find out I have a snake in the house.
See, I like snakes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't have a problem with them either. I don't have a problem with spiders. I don't think I'd ever... I don't know. Yeah, I probably won't have a tarantula at this point if I haven't had one by now. I did want to get one for a while, you know, that and things like, you know, scorpions and stuff like that. All those little interesting little creatures that...
I watched a scorpion eat a cricket today, and I was a little bit freaked out. Like, okay, like he had, or she, you know, I don't know what the spider's pronouns are, but it, I mean, the scorpion, but it was holding it in like both, you know, claws or pinchers or whatever they call them, clippy things, and it was holding it with both, and it was like eating it like a person would eat a cheeseburger. I was like, all right, this is a little too intense for me. I'm out of here. It was a bit much.
Well, you know, hey, they got to eat.
Creepy. Yeah, it was circle of life, you know.
Yeah, well, see, that's the way. I mean, that's how I looked at it with my snake. Because I mean, I think I'm pretty sure I've told the story before. I won my snake in a court case, and he was already, you know, he was brought up on live food. And unfortunately, the one thing with snakes is once they've got a taste for something, you can't really go back on it. Like you can start them with frozen mice and stuff like that, and they'll be fine with that for the rest of their life. But if you start them on live food, that's all they're ever going to want to eat. Right. So they'll end up starving themselves instead of switching, which is terribly annoying.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, and at least that's the way it's been with all the snakes I've ever had any contact with. And unfortunately, like at the beginning, I couldn't, because like when my roommate before she moved out and left the snake with me. Would actually get around to feeding the snake, you know, when I wasn't doing it for her, she would insist on, you know, knocking the rat out first so it didn't hurt the snake.
Hmm.
And she would end up like just putting it in a plastic bag.
Oh gosh.
Taking it outside, just smacking on the sidewalk. And I'm like, I'm watching this. I'm like, I can't do this. I'm like, this is just ridiculous.
I couldn't do that.
I'm like, yeah, I could never bring myself to do that. So I'm like, I would just walk in there. I'd put, you know, I'd take him out of his cage. I would take him out of his tank and put him in his little box. Cause we fed him, you know, I feed him in a separate cardboard box.
Mm-hmm.
Because feeding with their tank is never a good idea, because then whenever you stick your hand in there for something, they'll just grab it.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah,
good,
you
don't know.
Yeah, with constrictors, you don't. It's not a good, you know, constrictor type snakes. It's not a good idea to feed them in their tank, because they'll, you know, anything that moves in there, they'll just think it's food if they're hungry, and they'll just, you know.
That makes sense.
Other, you know, now he just, if I stick my hand in there, he'll just poke his head out. You know, he'll let me pick him up and stuff. But anyway. So I would just, you know, I would just throw him in, I would put him in his box, and I'd be like, all right, man, you're on. And I would just drop the rat in. And no, I would watch, but I wouldn't knock him. I wouldn't knock the rat out. I'm like, listen, man, you know, you're a snake. You got to be tough. And I dropped the rat in there. And, you know, he got pretty good at killing them before they could really hurt. Like every once in a while, he gets scratched a little bit before, you know, the rat would fight back a little bit or try to bite him before he actually got a good hold of him. You know, and as long as he took, you know, as long as he got him in one shot, it wasn't too bad. Although Onyx isn't the brightest snake in the world, apparently. He definitely tries to eat. I've watched him try to figure out how to eat a rat sideways more than a handful of times in the years that I've owned him.
That.
Yeah, he's not very bright, but he always gets the job done, and nothing's ever, you know, no serious harm has ever come to him. He's been fine.
So far, so good. Yeah, yeah. I really, really like rodents a lot. So, but I like snakes too. So that would be really difficult for me.
Well, see, that was the thing that was tough for me at first, because I had had, like, you know, like guinea pigs, hamsters, gerbils, a daegu, which when they were in the same room together, Onyx was just like, he was always on alert. He could smell him all the way across the room. My little daegu, And then I even had friends who had rats who were like shoulder trained, like my ferrets used to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, they were great. They're great little pets. So, yeah, that was definitely hard for me at first, too. But I, like you said before, the circle of life thing, that's what I had to do.
Yeah,
I had to
be
like,
all right. That's kind of how it goes.
It's nature, man. A daegu is a little desert mammal, which kind of looks like a gerbil with a bigger tail, and it sits almost more upright, like kangaroo-ish.
Oh, that's cute.
But not quite. They just have very powerful little legs, and they can hop like really. They can hop pretty high. And I had no idea what these things were before I got my hands on the first one. And I only had more than one because she was pregnant when I got her. This was in the height of my being a impromptu rescue center for animals, because people started handing my phone number out and erroneously telling people that I would not that I was looking to take care of animals, that I was taking in animals. And that's how I ended up with 7 ferrets at one time.
Oh my gosh.
And a bird, a little parrot, a guinea pig, the Daegu, the snake, my cat, and my dog.
You're like Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah, I've been called that more than a whole bunch of times in my life. But yeah, so anyway, but actually out of all those, it was my cousin who hooked me up with the Daegu because it was like one of her friends. They were like 15 years old. It was one of her friends who had went to a store in the city had come out to Long Island to visit friends, went to the pet store, found this cute little thing. It was like, oh, this is so cute. I want to get it. Brings it home. Mom finds out about it. It's like, you need to get rid of that or I'm throwing it out in the street. So the girl freaks out, panics, calls my cousin, like, I don't know what to do. And she's like, oh, I'll call my cousin. He'll know what to do.
He'll take it.
I had to look it up when she called me. She was like, it's a Daegu. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. What the heck is that?
What are you bringing over here?
So I had to look it up and I'm like, all right, it's like a gerbil. All right, I've had gerbils. I can do this. Okay, fine, whatever. And she showed up and she was this cute little thing. I mean, she was nervous, but she let me pet her and it was like, it's really cute because when I would scratch her, like apparently if you scratch them behind the ears, they'll tilt their head like 45 to like a 45. To a 90 degree angle and like almost look like they're smiling.
That's cute.
And they stay like locked there until you stop. Because it's the funniest thing. And they chirp, they make all these different noises in different, like different sound ranges, which actually apparently mean different things. It's kind of crazy. But anyway, I got her, and unfortunately she was pregnant when I got her, and I had no way of knowing this. And one morning I woke up to find 5 little puffballs running all around the room that I kept her in because I had her in a small ferret cage that I had still had left over, which the bars were big enough to keep her in. Mm-hmm. But nowhere near big enough to keep her little babies in. And I was constantly catching them for the first day until I could chicken wire the thing over. And then unfortunately, I removed everything a little too early. And they got out one more time. And they all ended up finding ways to off themselves in the process.
Wow. And
yeah, I felt horrible. But including a dance with one of my ferrets. But that's a whole other story.
Oh, no.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Look at that. Where does the time go?
Time flies when you're talking about Daegus and snakes. Hopefully not.
Usually not a good idea to mix those two together.
Yeah.
I did brave that circus for a while, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Maybe I'll get a Daegu instead of a tarantula. Might be more acceptable.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure most of your friends who freaked out about the tarantula, I mean, you'd have to explain, you'd have to go through the, you know, you talked earlier about not hating to repeat yourself when you were arguing with people. You're going to have to, you may want to get like a pre-recorded message or something that you could just play whenever somebody asks you, because you'll get tired of explaining, because that was the one thing every time I said, oh, I have this Daegu. What's a Daegu? Like, you have to do it every time.
You're like, come over and I'll show you.
Yeah, you know.
Just come over and see.
See, and now anybody who knows anything about any other type of animals, especially like reptiles, could be a little leery because there is something called a tegu, which is a rather large lizard that most of them are kind of really vicious and kind of really a-holes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We had one get loose in the store in the Petco that I worked in. One of the Petcos that I worked in, right before our grand opening, it disappeared. And we couldn't find him. And we were all convinced, and we didn't want to tell the manager of the store. And I was the stock manager at the time, but I was friends with all the other like younger kids that worked there. And I was like, "Yeah, I don't think we're gonna tell her about this. We're just gonna hope it shows up, and not by like some kid going, "Hey, mommy, what's this?" And the thing like jumps out and latches onto its finger. And like, you know. So yeah, and we couldn't find him. And like 4 months later, somebody saw movement. And we found him and like chased him across the store for a couple days before we finally caught him. And apparently he'd been living off the crickets because, you know, we kept crickets there that people came and bought for their other animals. And we would, whatchamacallit, they would inevitably, one or two of them would escape. Especially when somebody who didn't have much experience with taking the crickets out and putting them in a plastic bag and getting air in the bag at the same time. So the crickets don't die right away before the person even gets to their car. You know, it's not rocket science, but apparently it's kind of difficult for
Must be tricky.
Yeah, apparently, because I watched so many people like not be able to do it. And, or the people like, especially the girls, if they had to do it because nobody else were around, who were really kind of squeamish about having to try to catch the crickets and put them in a bag. It was pretty funny to watch. But yeah,
so cricket tongs or something, or like a scooper.
It was a scooper, but you had to open this. In most stores, there was some kind of tank, like maybe a giant fish tank, or maybe a giant like one of those rubber neck tubs that had like holes poked through the top for air and everything like that. But you had to take the lid off and scoop them out. And, you know, they can jump pretty high. And, you know, inevitably a couple would escape and hop through the store and just, you know, chirp all day long, all night long. And ever so much fun. But yeah, so apparently this thing was living off these things. And he was quite happy because he had grown to his full size by the time we found him.
Oh my gosh, like so how big did months. They get?
It was only like 6 to 8 inches, like from head to tail, and his tail was like it was a big tail, so the tail was at least like 3 or 4 inches, you know. So, but he was really thick by the time we found him. So, but he survived quite. You know, this is the thing we're selling all these little reptiles with these, you know, with these heat lamps and the heat rocks and the heat pads underneath and all this other stuff, and it's like this thing lived on the floor in the store. With the lights off, the heat off, whatever, the air conditioning, like for 4 to 6 months, no problem.
Off of spare crickets here.
Yeah,
there.
So.
Check that out. Resilient.
Yeah.
I was a teacher and we got these Japanese fire newts for the class because we thought, like, these would be low maintenance, easy to take care of, you know, like good for 2-year-olds. Do you know what those are? They smell like sulfur after a little while. So,
so oh, that's
for a couple
pleasant.
Of days of having them, boom, the smell kicks in and we're like, what is that? We had to figure it out. He's got to go.
Yeah.
Poor things. Back to the pet store they went.
Well, you live and learn with a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Truth.
That's how, I mean, I started young. My mom, I wanted animals, you know, I had a dog when I was born, but I was told that, you know, if I wanted my other stuff, I had to work for it and, you know, work my way up. And I started with hermit crabs and I would just
they're fun.
Yeah, but I would just be given different animals, like, you know, and work my way up to like fish and then little reptiles. All the way up to like a potbelly. Those were all my own, but like, you know, guinea pigs. And then we got a Vietnamese potbelly pig. Like that was the ultimate.
They're cute. Yeah. I know someone has a big old pig named Reuben.